Welcome to episode 88 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski. Alan Olson is in Wisconsin this week.
Beautiful city of La Crosse.
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Beer and Oktoberfest.
Hey, that's worth it. Sergio probably downed a few beers after his playoff victory at Players Championship. Yeah.
Fifth major.
The best player to never win a major wins a big tournament that's not a major. And Sunday he did it with his putter. He was first in driving accuracy, I believe, first in greens and regulation, dead last among those who made the cut after the three rounds. He had 18 more putts than the leader, Paul Guidos, after 54 holes. And yet on Sunday, he took only 28 putts, which isn't super low for a PGA Tour player, but it's eight lower than Sergio usually takes. Forces a playoff, shoots a 71 on a tough day, very, very windy, and wins on the first playoff hole. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but Paul Guidos goes in the water on 17, and Sergio Garcia taps it to 2 feet or so, two putts, safely for the win.
Yeah, it was really quite amazing when they threw up the stat that Sergio was, like you said, first in driving, first in greens, and dead last putting.
Yeah, it's normally greens in regulation and putting that win you tournaments, and Sergio, for perhaps the first time ever, at least on the PGA Tour that we've seen, his ball striking was able to overcome a putter for at least three rounds, and then his putter kind of chipped in when he had to. And he made a par putt, I believe, on like the fifth hole, did a little fist pump thereafter. Every time he had a makeable putt, we see the fist pump, and made like a 40-foot putt on like the 11th or 12th hole. So a 47-foot birdie putt on the par 4 14th hole, it says. And we saw the fist pump there, and you know, it may all be in his head. I mean, who knows? Sergio came on tour as a good putter and then lost it somewhere.
Yeah, you know, they keep talking about him being too mechanical, thinking about it. You know, maybe this working with Stan Utley is the key.
Well, and he went back to a Scotty Cameron putter from a long time ago when he first came up. Of course, he was signed with Titleist and I think he still wore Adidas clothing or something. But he played Titleist clubs and things and had that Titleist putter in his bag. And so he went back to that. That may have helped too. It certainly is a little more traditional than some of the TaylorMade putters that he's had in the bag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's had a revolving door of putters for the last 2 years now.
Has he had more putters or women?
We'll leave that one alone.
Okay. Greg Norman is saying it damn well better be putters.
It's just amazing with Sergio. I mean, the way on tour, he's got to be, what would you say? I mean, if he was an average putter, top five player?
Top 10 for sure. And if he picked and chose his course as well, yeah, top five player, certainly. And he could get back to that. You know, I'm not saying he's going to challenge Tiger, but his ball striking, I think, is on par with Tiger. His driving is better than Tiger and pretty much always has been. He matches him almost in distance and certainly amps it up in accuracy over Tiger. And his iron play and everything else is very good. His short game is creative and imaginative. And, you know, he's very close to Tiger in that regard, but he's always been behind him in putting, even when Sergio putted well. You know, I'm not saying he's going to challenge Tiger. I'm not trying to force that on anybody or anything. But every once in a while, competing with Tiger, if he can putt, yeah. And if that happens in a major, maybe. You know, I still am not sure that he can win a major, but this will help. Regardless of whether or not you think it's a fifth major or not is irrelevant. It's still a very big tournament with a very strong field. And so this will give him a lot of confidence, I think.
I just can't believe he hasn't won since 2005.
On the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
He's won something else since then, right? Besides the Ryder Cup.
I think that's pretty much been about it. I can't think of him winning for the last few years. It's great for the tour. I mean, you've got somebody who, was he 28, 29?
You had another 20-year-old winning too. It's the year of the 20-year-olds this year on the PGA Tour. Last week we had a record breaker, and this week another 20-something wins, and that beat all of last year already. We're now two ahead, so we haven't even hit the U.S. Open.
It's good for the tour to have Sergio up there, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully this isn't just a one-shot deal.
Right. Paul Guidos earned $1 million plus for finishing second, losing in the playoff. But a good day for Guidos. I mean, he didn't really do anything that was bad. Maybe, you know, if he had made par on an 18, he would have walked away with the victory and $700,000 more dollars, but as well as a 5-year exemption and all the stuff that comes with the players win. You know, but like most people, I think 18 was playing to a stroke average of 4.9, higher than three of the four par fives that day. So making a five there was basically making a par given the conditions, but he basically needed to birdie to win it outright. Failed to do so, but really, the 17 holes before that, can't find much fault. He played very excellent golf.
He played great. I mean, it's just a huge contrast in styles between, you know, him and Garcia. You know, Garcia's 50, 60 yards,
right,
on eyes, has him. I mean, Guidos must have been last in driving.
Distance, yeah.
You know, distance-wise, but, you know, he's probably first or second in putting, so
right.
I mean, it's, you know, Good for the short hitters.
Paul Gordis locks up his status for next year. $1 million in one tournament alone will do that for you. He also won the Sony Open last year, so he had status anyway. But Sergio Garcia has always enjoyed playing at the TPC of Sawgrass. He finished second last year. Most people forget that because they think of Sean O'Hare, who dropped down to seventh or something. He finished second or tied for fourth in 2002 or so. And he's played very well there. Several rounds in the 60s in a row. Finally puts it together and knocks off a win. Jeff Quinney had a good final round. We'll throw him in there too. A good day for a lot of people. And I think the staff did a very good job of maintaining the golf course and not letting it get away from them. They watered the greens. They didn't mow them at night. And it was super windy. Had they done those, had they mowed, and putts would be blowing in the wind while people were addressing them. All kinds of crazy stuff. So I give them credit. A 71 by Sergio Garcia tested him, but didn't get crazy silly.
Yeah, it was nice to see the, you know, especially like you said, with the wind. I think it was up to, what, 40 miles an hour or something like that?
Yeah, gusts of 36 to 40 or so, yeah.
I mean, it could have been a disaster on Sunday, but
it could have been the Masters. See, that's the thing. If the players ever did replace a major, the way the Masters is going, I think it would replace that, because it can't replace the U.S. Open or the British Open, because they are what they are. The PGA, a lot of people would say, okay, it replaces the PGA because it's not the Masters. But the PGA at least plays on different courses. So if you're going to replace a major that plays on the same course every year, there's only one. So the players was about 14 times more interesting than the Masters the past couple of years, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's been very...
Excitement is obviously not a factor in determining a major, but I'm just saying.
No, it's good, compelling golf to watch, which unfortunately the Masters
was not.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
I mark my tie list with a black line and a red line. Black dot over the nine.
A red line through the side stamp.
With a dot between the tie list and the number.
With Korean flag.
I mark my ball with a kangaroo. Does anybody else do it like this?
Check it out.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball,
it's how you mark your titles.
How do you mark your titles?
Our forum topic of the week is the 17th as a first playoff hole. Joke or just fine?
This is something that, yeah, a lot of people commented on. Sergio Garcia and Paul Gordeaux's tie, and they go to 17 as the first playoff hole on a day when, again, the wind was gusting to 36, 35, 70, 40 miles an hour, whatever it was. Paul Gordeaux's ball gets a gust of wind. He falls in the water. Sergio gets lucky or, you know, hits a great shot. I mean, they both hit good shots, I believe, and his ball rolls to a foot and a half. So, I don't know. You want to be a major, and yet you're start your playoff on kind of a gimmick hole?
Well, I mean, there is a definite love-hate relationship with the 17th hole to begin. And then to sit there and have an exciting final round, and then, oh, by the way, it's 50-50 whether it's a fluke if you're going to make it, or, you know, on there on a good day.
You may as well have people try to break glass, like the big break or something. I mean, it's that much of a, you know, one shot where you get lucky, you know? I mean, it's I don't know.
Yeah.
Other people said in the forum said maybe play 16, 17, and 18, which Dean Beeman nicknamed the gauntlet. You know, it's been without a nickname for a long time because none have stuck, but that one's fine, whatever. I don't think you have to nickname everything, but make them run the gauntlet again. 16, 17, 18, a par 5, a par 3, and a par 4. Double bogey is not going to kill you if you dunk one in the water because you could have eagled the hole before or birdie or something, and someone could always dunk it on 18. So, you know, I think playing those three holes might be a good way to go. And it's a nice compromise between the four-hole playoff that we see in the British Open, the 18 holes we see in the U.S. Open, which I don't think they'd ever do at the Players, and things like that. So,
yeah, I think that's probably a pretty fair thing. I mean, just one shot and done. That's it. He hits it in the water, it's over with.
Yeah, so long as Sergio found dry land, he could have three-putted and won, essentially.
Not a lot of fun.
Stay tuned.
I mark my titles with a VJ.
I mark my ball with the Greek symbol for courage, the lambda sign.
I throw my initials on it.
Three crosses around the script.
This is my boy's initials, TP.
I mark my tie list with my initials, Olin Orange.
For 20 years, a black dot over the tee.
With three black dots.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball,
it's how you mark your tie list.
How do you mark your tie list?
In LPGA news this week, Annika Sorenstam is making a move, basically, to regain the number one status. You know, it's going to take a little while. But she wins in a very big tournament at Kings Mill, and Lorena Ochoa does not win. So Annika Sorenstam back in form. She said she recommitted herself to golf earlier this year, and it's starting to look like she has. She beat Paula Creamer a couple of weeks ago. She beats Ochoa now, and she won earlier this year. So three wins on the year already. Not too far behind there were Ochoa's total.
There were points during that tournament where, I mean, it looked like when she was easily the best player. I mean, number one, I mean, she was greens. It was unbelievable watching her. I mean, it was like every shot was perfect.
She fired rounds of 64, jumping out to a 3-shot lead after one round. Nobody within 3 shots of her after one round. 64, 66, 69, and closes with a 66. Allison Fouch, apologies if I get her name wrong, had to shoot a 64 in the final round just to get within 7 shots of her. She finishes at 19 under par, and the next closest tied for second with 4 players at 12 under. Yow!
It's a butt whoop.
And wins $330,000, or, you know, roughly almost between 5 and 6 times less than Sergio Garcia won.
That's a chump change. It is pretty amazing, the difference between the two.
Yeah, I think the person that finished like 5th or 6th in the Players' Championship won as much money. Oh well. So yeah, very impressive. It was tough. I mean, I wasn't going to, probably would have been boring to watch because she ran away with the thing, but she said she hit a perfect shot, iron shot, every single hole.
Can't go wrong with that. I mean, that's great for the LPGA. I mean, Ochoa was kind of running away with everything, and
right,
was kind of hit and miss to see who would be finishing a distant second, and now you have Annika back.
Right.
Is
Lorena in a slump? That's the topic. They'll be talking about it, though. I know people will be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Whatever.
Michelle Wee played, too. She got a sponsor's exemption and played in the LPGA event. A lot of people, she missed the cut, finished at +4. The cut was at +1. Sorry, even par made the cut. +1 was cut. So she finishes 4 out at +4. First round, 75 did her in. She came back with a 71. She beat some players, but still missed the cut by 4. It's a bit odd, though. You look at her scorecard, and all you see basically are birdies and bogeys. There aren't too many pars on there.
Yeah, not very consistent. It's either good or bad.
I mean, so that could mean she's close, or she's just, you know, all over the place.
It's going to be kind of hard to see, too, because she can only get in with sponsor's exemption. So it's,
right. Well, it's tough. It's tough for her to get a rhythm. So.
Yeah, no momentum, no rhythm.
So that's just more of a footnote to the Annika Sorenstam win. 75-71, missing the cut by 4. You know, if she can learn from it, then it was a positive experience. If she can't, it wasn't. But at this point, she's just a name in the crowd, right?
Pretty much just a footnote to the LPGA Tour.
Yeah. Sergio Garcia, in his thank you speech, first thanked Tiger Woods for not showing up, for not being there. He said, first, I'd like to thank Tiger for not being here. You know, it's certainly easier to win when he's not around. But Johnny Miller says, I'm not taking a slam at Tiger, blah, 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 blah. But I think the Grand Slam is something you start thinking about on the 1st of August after you've won the first 3 others. He also kind of jabbed at Tiger Woods for having the knee surgery when he did because of his typical poor finishes in the Players' Championship, despite the fact that Tiger's won it once before. He usually doesn't play very well at the Players.
No, not as of late. It's just Johnny being Johnny. I mean, he likes to say things.
Yeah, and this wasn't even said during the telecast. This was said before the telecast started, so I don't know. I just found the announcing to be almost comical at times. Roger Maltby, I believe, was guilty of saying that a certain putt was straight, and Kenny Perry was like a 5-foot putt. Kenny Perry, they got a nice angle below the green, or on the green level, you know, right down the line of the putt. Johnny Miller says, this is pretty straight, right? Roger goes, yep. If anything, the wind might push a little right. He putts it, it breaks like a foot left. It's just like, and there were a few times that day where they're like, this one would go left. And the guy puts it straight and it goes in the hole. And they're like, I'm not sure why it didn't break there. The wind must have held it up, you know, or something. It was bad. I mean, I've never seen, I'm not saying they're bad announcers, but I'm not sure what the heck they were smoking some of those days. Maybe the greens were redone. I mean, only 2 years ago, so maybe it's maybe their notes are a little out of date.
I don't know. You would have thought that they would have spent time there last year.
Well, and Johnny Miller goes out on most of the greens and checks things out, so I don't know.
Maybe
whatever.
Shares notes with the rest of the NBC team.
Maybe the wind really did blow at a foot left, even though it was supposed to blow right. Who knows? That does it for episode 88 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. If you have any comments about our forum topic of the week, like the 17th hole as a first playoff hole, drop by our forum, check the links in our show notes to the other stories we've posted. And for Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, Sergio Garcia is still the best player never to have won a major, right behind Adam Scott. Talk to you next week.
See you.